Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. I'm Chris Wilmerding, your host. The show is a series of conversations with business owners about their beliefs and values and which beliefs and values they want to share with the next generation. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply wait until the end of this 20-minute segment and we'll provide a link. Simply sign in at that point and we'll be in touch with more information. Now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Legacy Podcast Show. This is your host, Paul Dio, and I have a very special guest, Kim Wilhelm. And basically what I'll do is I'll let Kim talk a little bit about what he does for a living. So Kim, tell me a little bit about yourself and the company that you started.
Absolutely, Paul. And thank you for the time today. I own and operate, along with my wife, Ellen Jo, a company called Final Expense Direct. I have a long history in the insurance industry going back 50 years. But 15 years ago, we migrated from field sales into a telesale operation. I believe probably the first agency in the country to market this particular product over the phone as opposed to face-to-face. And we've grown this company over the last 15 years to a substantial marketing organization where we have probably 60 plus insurance agents that help families with their final expense benefits, again, over the phone in 49 states plus DC. We do so off of TV advertising, internet advertising, all inbound calls directly to the agents. And it's a great way for us to help families all across the country. So that's what we do.
For the audience that doesn't know what Final Expense is, can you tell us what Final Expense is?
Absolutely. It's what we'll call simplified issue life insurance product that is sold into the blue collar market, seniors. And the reason I say blue collar, white collar folks pretty much write checks to pay for funerals. Blue collar folks that are good, hardworking Christian folks in nature, family people. They spend their entire careers working to provide for the family, not able to set a lot of money aside. Now they're retired or on disability, getting a little closer to end of life. And they'll attend a couple of funerals and hear the horror stories about people not having the money set aside to cover the funeral. The families are having to come together, raise money, hold car washes, barbecues in order to take care of the funeral benefit. So these policies are designed specifically to help cover end-of-life cost. They're normally $7,000, $10,000, $15,000 policies. That actually what it is peace of mind for the individual that's purchased it, knowing that when God comes calling, the kids and the family are not going to have financial loss in addition to emotional loss. Because in this market, a lot of the families that are blue collar, their kids are blue collar as well. Not in all cases, but quite often. And so they don't have a spare $10,000 sitting around to help try and take care of these costs. So that's what it is we do. It's when I got in the market originally in 1984, it was a pretty underserved market. And more insurance companies now participate in it. And more agents are now coming into the field as well.
Why do you think it was underserved? Why do you think it was not really an appealing market?
Well, just the market has changed. Blue collar, first of all, for an insurance company to make money, they need a policy to be on the books for quite some time. So they focus more on white collar that can afford to keep what they buy. Mm-hmm. Blue collar that's working paycheck to paycheck has a tougher time with quality of business, meaning keeping it on the books. Mm-hmm. And so insurance companies had a little harder time probably with profitability on the product. Mm-hmm. And there were specialty insurance companies that went after the market. And as time has gone on, it's become known about how to be profitable for an insurance company to do it. And so more insurance companies have entered the market. Mm.
So what makes it, what makes your company a little bit unique? How does it stand out? Because it can be, when you think of IMO or FMO, it's insurance marketing organization, financial marketing organization. You can get lost in a sea of different organizations. What really stands out?
Well, we are focused on one product and one product only. A lot of other marketing organizations will maybe sell final expense, but they'll also sell Medicare. They'll also sell cancer insurance. They'll sell hospital insurance. And when they run across a customer, they have a various offering to try and find something for them. We are totally target marketing. Mm-hmm. We believe that an agent who is highly trained, skilled in one product offering, and then we bring in a high volume of what I'll call high intent leads for that agent to have someone to talk to every day, that we're able to make a bigger dent in the market, meaning by helping people. Plus, we're also able to help agents have a better experience for their families as well as their bank accounts. Mm-hmm. You know, the insurance industry, by and large, has a 92% failure rate in the first 3 years of an insurance company getting a license. Mm-hmm. There, you know, take sales skills out of the equation. Let's say everybody has the same sales skills, mm-hmm. and everybody has the same work ethic. Then the main two reasons really come down to quality training, mm-hmm. and a volume of leads. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And so we specialize in both of those. A brand new agent coming in here that may have never have sold insurance in his life or is new to final expense and has been bouncing around for the last 9 to 12 months trying to figure out how to make a living. We put them in a week and a half to 2 weeks of hardcore training, scripts, rebuttal, voice inflection, underwriting of the various companies, because we do represent 8 of the top companies in this market in order to be able to shop for the client that we're talking to. So there's a week and a half to 2 weeks of training. And then when they get on the sales floor, because it is a telesale opportunity, they have an opportunity to talk to 8, 10, 12 families a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the harder I work, the better I get, but also the harder I work, the luckier I get. And then we have follow-up training every day, every week, until they raise their skill level, to where they're able to provide for their family in a meaningful way. You know, we have agents on the floor that have been with us 12, 13 years, that when they came to work here, they were making $30,000 a year, and now they're at $150,000 to $200,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So it's been life-changing for them. And that's that's really part of the legacy that I want to be known for, is that I have helped change individuals' lives.
Mm. Yeah, that leads to my next question. What do you enjoy most about what you do? What's the most gratifying part about what you do?
You know, that truly is helping people grow. Helping them grow. An example would be our number one agent. He came in here without an insurance license. We hired him as a lead operator at $9 an hour 10 years ago. And he would work here 9 to 5. And at 5, he would leave here and go to another company and book appointments there at night. So he worked 2 jobs to make $35,000 a year. After about 18 months, he was doing a good job. So we helped him get a license, trained him. And it took a little bit of training, but in time, he has gone from being a single guy living in a 1-bedroom apartment, catching 3 buses to come to work, to married, owns a beautiful home, 2 brand new cars, a lot of cash in the bank, and he will make over $200,000 this year.
Amazing.
That's what I come for. And I'm a believer that if one can, many can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't come to work anymore for the money. I come in to help many. And so that's probably one of the reasons we're really so strong on training and inspecting what we expect out of people. You know, if you're willing to pay the price of success, if you're willing to do the work, then we have a machine here. I mean, we're different. We're an anomaly in the insurance industry. We have a machine here where I'll go back to that particular agent. All he has to do every day is get up, spend time with his family, drive here, plug into the system, take calls all day, help families. At the end of the day, unplug and drive home to his family. Everything is taken care of, whether it's training, whether it's we provide 100% of the customer support. He doesn't have to worry about if a case gets hung up in underwriting, someone's there to take care of it. He doesn't have to worry about if one of his clients misses the bank payment, customer service is there reaching out to help that family with it. He doesn't have to worry about buying leads. Who am I going to talk to next? All he has to do is worry about being a great salesman. And that's pretty much it. So it's a machine for agents to plug into.
Yeah, that brings an interesting question to mind. You know, as you were growing the company, because the word I think about is leadership. How would you describe your leadership style, and how has it evolved over time?
Well, I have always been a hands-on leader and someone who led from the front. You know, I learned many, many, many years ago that if you want to build a sales organization, 3 things have to happen. And this was back in the early 80s when I built my first insurance marketing opportunity. And to keep it real simple, you know, first of all, and to put it in layman's terms, you have to have something to do. That's a product. Okay. So that would be currently final expense. You have to have a place to go. That would be leads. And so in my own case, I need to be good at the product. I need to have a volume of places to go. And then once I have proven concept and based on my skills, I am successful, then can I get a higher volume of places to go? And if so, then you recruit someone to come in and just simply duplicate who you are. So I will tell you that I feel that I have been at any sales endeavor I've done, one of the top agents in the industry at that first. And then I would go get someone else to duplicate my efforts. I've always been real strong in marketing and lead generation in order to control leads. So when I started this company back in 2015, at the time, I owned a lead company and we sold leads to other agents across the country. So when we started the telesale operation, we took those same leads to make sure that the new agents we hired would have plenty of people to talk to every day, all day long. You know, hopefully that answered your question.
Does. Now, if you weren't in insurance, in the industry of insurance, where do you think you would be? Like if it was, you started up back over, what else would you want to do?
Well, you know, I've done a number of things over the years. I got my insurance license in 1970, but I branched into telesales of long distance in 1989. And actually in 1990, started a long distance company, myself, one manager who still works for me today, and my wife. With the breakup of Baby Bell, AT&T, we started a long-distance company. 5 years later, we had 700 employees doing $40 million a year in revenue. At the height, we were signing up about 18,000 new customers a week.
Wow.
Pretty much all over the telephone. So I had a little knowledge with that. And what drove that was being fortunate to figure out how to generate leads. And it took a lot of leads to be able to do so. And we just got good at it. And again, it was, you know, our sales were to the residential market, focused on blue collar, quick decisions, just like today. We focus on blue collar, largest segment of our society.
Now, what would you say is your best business decision you've ever made?
The best business decision I ever made, probably the hardest opportunity, was the one we're currently in. There was more opportunity in the long distance market, more opportunity for money, more opportunity for all that. But for me, the best business decision was starting this company, because I was at an age where I understood the value of truly helping people, of truly helping people. I love getting up every morning and coming to work. It's nice to walk in the door and know you're not coming for the money. I'm coming to see who I can touch today and open their mind to the fact there's another world out here. We have taken people from 30,000 a year to 60 or 65,000. And again, as I said, from 30 to 100. To 140, to 150, to 200. My goal right now is to figure out how to take those that have gone from 30 to 60 and have gotten comfortable thinking they've hit a home run, to move them from 60 on up to 100. That's what I'm focused on now, as well as bringing in new people to experience what the opportunity is. Mm-hmm. You know, the hardest part about what we do is finding people that truly are open to the hard work. Mm-hmm. It's hard work. Most insurance agents are driving around trying to figure out who they're going to talk to.
Yep. Yep.
Or they're trying to scrap together a little bit of money to buy a couple of leads or so they're not busy. Here, when you walk in at 9 a.m, you're busy until you walk out at 6 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because everything is happening. Mm-hmm. The leads are coming. Managers are there to help you. You know, it's just busy. So if you have someone who's not really driven to be extremely successful, and to me, successful is a six-figure income. Mm-hmm. There are people that just don't want to work that hard.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
What would you consider your worst financial decision, or one that kind of shed light into something about, you know, the way you make decisions? So what would you consider your worst business decision?
The worst business decision, I would say, had to do with the long distance company. I won't go into a lot of detail with it, but we were doing well. We were growing. We were on the verge of taking the company public, and an acquisition. Bottom line, I took my eye off of the end zone and got caught up in the minutia of taking the company public and quit being focused on the day to day. And when we wound up not going public because of market shift, we actually acquired another carrier that wound up being detrimental to us. Mm-hmm. And that was a bad decision. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible decision for us. We, you know, we managed to get through it, but it caused a lot of pain. And, you know, it was just my worst decision ever, but it was a learning experience.
Do you think if that didn't play out where it didn't end up that bad, that you would still be in the industry or you would still go into insurance?
You know, I would have still gone into the insurance business. The industry changed dramatically over the next 3 to 5 years, and mm-hmm. we would have moved on into the internet side of it. And so on. But, you know, God had a different plan for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm exactly where God planned on me being. Mm-hmm. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Something you mentioned that multiple times, you don't, you know, it's good not to show up to work and not do it for the money. How do you view, like, what's your view on money? Like your overall interpretation of what money means to you?
You know, money means to me, really, you know, there was a time in life where I wanted to be extremely successful. Now it's to have enough money to be comfortable to do what I want to do when I want to do it, which I'm there. Mm-hmm. And then leave a legacy for my kids, mm-hmm. something to make their life easier. But I want it to be something that's lasting, mm-hmm. not here's the money and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. We're building this business for the family to be able to run it and continue it. You know, I'm 70 now. I'll probably work till I'm 80, mm-hmm. Just because I love getting up and doing what I do, helping people. I'll be working more remotely soon, in the office 2-3 days a week and then remote the rest, but I will be working. But the goal is to have this company here 20-30 years from now, mm-hmm. because the market will be here. There's no reason that we're not here, just continuing to build and be stronger and better and helping agents and helping families across the country. I mean, we're not huge, but there's probably about 100 total employees here. And we help on average 13 to 14,000 families a year. I'd like that number to move on up to 25, 30,000 over time. And I believe that'll be enough chaos to manage.
Definitely, definitely.
Don't care about getting as big as we were at one time with the long distance. I mean, we had offices in 7 cities and 5 states, and it was crazy. It was crazy.
Now, you had mentioned legacy. What when you think of legacy, what do you think of? Either the legacy that you want to leave or just legacy in general?
You know, to me, a legacy is more of a remembrance of my impact. I have no education. I was an athlete, pretty good athlete, and God had just different plans for me. So the sports didn't take off, but I truly believe that he opened my eyes to make sales my sport. Mm-hmm. And with my very first insurance opportunity when I was 19, I was an introvert. I was shy. I stuttered. I couldn't look you in the eyes. But the first opportunity I had wonderful training. 2 weeks of classroom training, nothing but memory work for the first week and a half. And the last day and a half, we talked about insurance products. But the memory work made it possible for me to be successful. And it taught me how important quality training that goes up here is, because if it's here, you can say it from here. And in the consumer market, if it's not coming from here, you're not going to be a big producer. So, the training was really important. Now I forgot what led me down that path.
Legacy, just overall legacy. What type of legacy you want to leave?
The legacy is really someone who had, or that I had, tremendous work ethic. You know, I accepted the blessing when my kids were born, and having no education, I knew that I was going to have to work harder than anybody else. Someone who had talent, someone who had education, someone who had blessings. I was going to have to work harder to be able to provide food, shelter, clothing, education. And my wife and I, who we worked together for 35 years, she's the brains, I'm the marketing guy. And both of us have pretty much the same education with good work ethic. So it comes down to work ethic. Want to be known as someone who always did what was right. Honesty, integrity. You know, the money is a byproduct of it. So it really comes down to that I cared more about helping people, and the blessings followed it. Because mm-hmm. I've lived for a long time. If you help enough people get what they want, then you get to go along for the ride. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, with your kids, you're planning on having your kids run the company to continue the company on?
Yeah, my daughter Sarah has been with us, I think, 5 years. She has her mother's smarts, and she's very good at what she does. Mm-hmm. She oversees our customer service department and also a group of lead operators, but she's very good with HR. And so she, in time, will oversee the company along with a strong core of managers and, you know, continue to run the company. Absolutely. And at some point in time when she's had enough, it'll be in a shape where there'll be an insurance company coming in wanting to acquire it.
Is there any, it seems like you've already lived a very full life. Is there anything left that, you know, you kind of have on your bucket list of things to do or things that you want to do?
You know, I really just want to continue to make an impact on people's lives. And I want to really slow down just a little bit and spend time with my wife traveling and the grandkids. We're in the process and just about finished building a lake house just north of Houston, about 90 miles. And it'll be a nice place for us to get away to. I've always been a water person, not in it, but being around it. So the goal is to travel, spend time at the lake, and continue to be productive as long as God allows me to come in here.
Now, for the audience members that are listening, if you were to give some advice on how to think about legacy or how to build a legacy, what types of insights would you give them to leave a lasting legacy?
Well, you know, that's a good and tough question. You know, it's not something I give a lot of thought about, to be honest with you. It's who I've become, but, you know, I'm not sure how I would answer that, to be honest with you.
It's a tough question. I think with what we found on some of the other guests is, it's different for everybody. They build it like you were self-aware being an introvert. I mean, I consider myself an introvert too, where you were self-aware that you built it in your own way that worked for you. And then another person will build it in their own way. So,
yeah. Absolutely. But,
all right. Well, it was a pleasure, Kim. Again, this is Kim Wilhelm. Kim Wilhelm from Final Expense Direct. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Legacy Show. If you're a thoughtful business owner who would like to be a guest on this program, please visit businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. That's businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. Now, if you got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you do that, tag us with #businesslegacypodcast. Again, #businesslegacypodcast. Each month, we scour Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. We pick one winner from each platform, and you get crowned king or queen of that social media. What do you win? We're going to promote you and your business to our audience of over 150,000 people totally free. Now, can you hook us up in your podcast player right now? Please give us a thumbs up or a rating and a review. We promise to read it all and take action. We believe that a person's legacy is the most important thing someone can leave the next generation, and your feedback helps us fulfill our mission. And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button. You know why? Because every week for 15 minutes, you are going to be inspired and motivated to leave a lasting and meaningful legacy. My name is Chris Womerding. Let's connect on the socials. You'll find all the stuff we're doing at businesslegacypodcast.com. Again, businesslegacypodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being part of the Business Legacy Movement.